Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Happy New Year from the stage right side. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it is 2026. Well, that's a lie. It's actually the day before New Year's Eve, and I'm going to publish this on New Year's Day. So happy New Year to all of you out there, and thank you for being stage right side listeners. It's lovely to have you. I had a really nice Christmas with my family. I went to Connecticut and stayed at my dad's in Fairfield. We all went to like a pizza place in Fairfield. Like, apparently Connecticut has the best pizza in the country or something. This was not something I was aware of growing up, but I do recall there being incredible pizza in Fairfield where I grew up. And now the state has become a sort of haven for pizza snobs. It's so interesting. So we went to this pizza place on the 23rd called Colony Grill in Fairfield, and it was incredibly delicious. It was like thin crust pizza. It's sort of like a bar and grill kind of feel of a place. It's not like an Italian, you know, checkered tablecloth kind of joint. But it's really cute. They had a bunch of Christmas decor up. And the pizzas are thin crust, and the cheese was fantastic. And I got mine with sausage and peppers and hot oil and meatballs as well, because I like meat. Hey. It was really fun. And then spent the night at my dad's, and then had breakfast with my dad and my little brothers the next morning. And it was really nice. And then from there, I went to my sister's in Orange, Connecticut, and saw my niece and my nephew and my brother-in-law and hung out. It was just really, really chill. What did we do? We watched the Taylor Swift documentary on Disney Plus, and we played a lot of games and had a really nice dinner. And, you know, every time I go to my sister's, she has a lot of things from she got a lot of my mom's objects and things when my mom passed away in 2016. And it's always really sentimental, I guess, when I just see my mom's stuff. It's really sweet. And of course, you know, think about my mom a lot during the holidays because she was so good at Christmas. She absolutely adored Christmas. She was so generous. She loved giving gifts. And it was really, really fun. Loved seeing my sister. She's awesome. And yeah, I have a huge family. I have four older siblings and two younger siblings, and they're all half brothers and one half sister. But it doesn't feel like that. We behave as though we are full blooded, and it was really, really sweet. What else did we do? Yeah, my sister made a great dinner, and you know that I think about my mom there too because she makes a lot of her dishes and her famous ham glaze, which is like completely so 1950s housewife and amazing. And then right after the Christmas Day, I went back to the city and spent a night at my apartment with my kitties. And then following day, I went up to Rhinebeck. Two of my best friends, Nate and Peter, have a house up there. And that's where I wrote most of my book, Center, back in whatever, 2020. And I went back up there, obviously, to see my friends, but I'm working on a new book, and I have been writing up there and then hanging out with them and enjoying. It snowed like crazy. Oh, my God. It was so fun. We built a fire out in their yard, like a fire pit fire, while it was snowing. It was so magical. I was freezing my tuchus off, but it was super fun. And I was there for a couple of days, and my best friend Cooper from Boston came, and we hung out with him a little bit. And I like the holidays because, A, I get a little bit of time off, and I get to reconnect with people that I miss when I am performing, when I'm on tour, when I'm just on the ballet grind. I don't know, my body needs this time to heal after like going. But I also, there's this thing called ballet guilt where you're like, oh my God, I should be working. I should be in class. I should be doing this, that, and the other. I mean, all that said, I still go to the gym and I do a lot of physical therapy on my own. And I'm very active still. It's just nothing hits like class and rehearsals, like for 8 hours a day. Nothing feels like that by way of exercise. No matter how much gymming I'm doing, it's just nothing is like ballet and rehearsing all day. But the conundrum is you have to rest in order to heal up and get the body correct for the next marathon of months of tours and performances. Because my next break, I don't know that I'm really going to have a break until maybe like August. So I'm really soaking up every moment and trying to get as much rest as I can. Because, ooh, girl, we got some hard stuff coming up. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. We also have tours. We're doing Winter's Tale on tour, Sylvia, and Symposium. So we're running around, and then we have our like first ever early spring performances at the Koch Theater at Lincoln Center. And then we, of course, have our summer season, which is, it used to be earlier, and now it's in the summer. And then we have, you know, we're working. We're out here working. I have some fun plans with my friends for New Year's. We're all like, my friend from Boston is visiting still, and we have plans to go to one of our friends in New York City Ballet is having a party tonight. So we're going to go have a little like ballet girly party, and then we're going out dancing to a really great event called Wet Noise. It's on the Lower East Side, and it's like a really joyful, fun, dancey kind of thing. And then I'll probably sleep all day tomorrow. After that, I'm going back up to Rhinebeck to my friend's place to continue writing this book, and I'll be up there for about a week before I come back and we start work with ABT. So it's been productive. I've also started the Substack, which I've just been, I've been grateful for people's response to it. People have subscribed to it, and thank you, all of you listeners who listened to last week's episode and went to my Substack and subscribed. It's been a great response, and it's been really, really fun for me to do. I have a new essay, I guess. The one that I did this week is it's a short story. I'm doing a serialized short story with illustrations that I did myself as well, and it's like a kid's book, basically, but not a kid's book as in like a picture book, but it's like, gosh, like, what would I liken it to? Maybe like a Roald Dahl kind of situation. I know Roald Dahl is problematic, but he was highly influential for me as a young reader. And I'm going to ignore the person Roald Dahl. And at this moment, you'll see how he has shaped my idea of like a young person's story. And I'm not an artist by any means. Well, I am, I guess, but not an illustrator by any means. So do be kind, and I hope you enjoy it. It's called Johnny Newcastle Tries, and it's a story about a little boy who is struggling to find something that he's good at, and it is loosely autobiographical. I really struggled to find anything that I liked.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Was good at until I found dance. So this sort of hyperbolized kid story that I'm writing is just based on my experiences as a little kid not being good at stuff until dance, and it's sweet. It's not the book I'm working on upstate. This is just like a thing I did for my Substack for fun. and I had fun doing it. So with that said, why don't I read that for you? All right, here we go. Johnny Newcastle Tries, a serialized story and illustrations by James Whiteside. Hey, LOL, that's me. Chapter one, Johnny Tries Little League. And then there's a little illustration of a kid doing a cartwheel in the outfield while a baseball flies toward him. Johnny Newcastle was doing flawless cartwheels in the outfield when the ball came hurtling toward him at the speed of light. He noticed it just as he finished his cartwheel with his feet together, arms in a proud V, just like Svetlana Harkina on TV. Johnny hopped backward to avoid the ball, minus a half point from the Russian judge. And then there's another illustration of Johnny with his arms in a V as the ball thuds to his feet. The ball plopped down at his feet and he let out a shrill feminine scream reminiscent of the shower scene in Psycho. His hands balled into fists, palms out by his shoulder as he looked around in a panic. Coach Kepler screamed, "Throw it to second base, you numbskull!" There were about 20 seconds left in the sixth and final inning. Johnny tentatively picked up the ball in his right hand, wound up while focusing on the second baseman, and let her rip. The baseball thudded into the grass about 3 feet in front of Johnny. He rolled his eyes dramatically, huffed, walked up to it, and kicked it towards the second baseman, who scooped it up. Johnny resumed his gymnastic finishing V position as three players ran to home base, scoring thrice for the opposing team. Coach Kepler blew the whistle, signifying the end of the game. Another game lost. Johnny chased a butterfly in the outfield. "Johnny Newcastle, get your prancing cleats over here," shouted Coach Kepler, who was a brawny beefcake of a man. He was a little under 6 feet tall with a thick black mustache that Johnny thought was rather fetching. He always wore a black New York Yankees cap, a white ringer tee, and a pair of light blue Levi's. Coach Kepler had hairy forearms and meaty hands that Johnny liked to stare at during practice. The coach was perpetually chewing a big wad of gum, like some sort of sandlot Bugs Bunny. While Coach Kepler fumed with crossed arms, Johnny did about 12 cartwheels back to the dugout. Johnny laughed as he met his coach, dizzy from all the cartwheels. "You can't keep moving around out there. Hold your position and quit prancing around. And Johnny, you didn't even try to catch the ball," complained the coach. "It was coming right at me," said Johnny. "That's a good thing. Jeez, Johnny, do you even like baseball?"
"Nope."
"Then why in the ever-loving heck are you doing Little League?"
"My mom made me."
"Okay, where is she? I want to have a word with her."
"Oh, she's not here."
"Okay, well, where's your dad?"
"He's over there."
Johnny smiled and waved emphatically at his dad, who grimaced and waved back. He gave an embarrassed thumbs up. Coach Kepler stalked over to Johnny's father, who was a tall man in his early 30s. He wore a short-sleeved, button-down shirt with a pair of khakis. He was a handsome man, though a little nerdy-looking. "Coach Kepler, I'm sorry about the loss today. Bummer," called Chuck Newcastle as the coach walked toward him while yanking Johnny along.
"You're Johnny's father?" asked Coach Kepler with a bit of a growl in his voice.
"Yes, sir. I'm the proud father of the little Babe Ruth you're yanking along by his throwing arm."
"Well, he refuses to even try to catch a damn ball."
"Aw, Coach, don't you remember being 8 years old? That thing comes flying at you and it's darn scary. And please watch the dams in front of the kids, sir, coach."
"We keep losing games because of your little Judy Garland here. The kid's a damn fairy."
"Watch the dams, coach. I mean it. Johnny, stay here a moment. Coach Kepler, follow me."
Chuck hurried over to an empty area to the side of the bleachers as Coach Kepler hurried to keep up.
"Where are we going?" asked the coach, as Chuck kept walking until he was completely behind the bleachers.
As soon as Coach Kepler rounded the corner to meet him, Chuck punched him squarely in his mustache, and the coach fell back into the dust, spluttering and in shock.
"Don't you ever call my Judy Garland a fairy again," Chuck Newcastle hissed and then spit on him before kicking some dust into the stunned coach's face.
There's another illustration here of Coach Kepler getting punched right in the mustache with a little bit of a comic book pow next to it. Johnny's dad rounded the corner and walked briskly towards the dugout, where Johnny was waiting patiently. All right, slugger, let's get out of here. Want to hit the Dairy Queen on the way home?
Yes, sir,
Johnny squealed as he grabbed his dad's slowly purpling hand. He'd have to ice that later when he got home.
Hey, Pop, I don't think I'm very good at baseball, and I don't think the coach likes me very much. And the other kids keep saying I'm weird.
Well, what's weird anyway?
I don't know. I guess weird is what isn't normal.
Then what's normal?
Good question, Pop.
Listen, buddy, you don't have to do Little League if you don't like it. Why don't we find you something you actually enjoy?
Really? Won't Mom be disappointed?
Let me handle her. What's she gonna do? Divorce me? Too late. And Chuck let out a hearty guffaw. Johnny frowned and looked at his feet. As he walked through the parking lot, the click of his cleats on the pavement filled the silence. They arrived at Chuck's red Dodge Ram van filled with all his carpentry tools and got in.
What do you think you'd like to try next? Chuck asked.
I'm not sure. Can I think about it?
Johnny replied as he wrinkled his nose in thought. He really didn't know, but he felt like he was on the verge of finding something. Something really special. Chuck took one of his hands off the steering wheel to pat the top of Johnny's baseball-capped head. Of course, kiddo. You take your time. To Dairy Queen?
To Dairy Queen! Moo!
And father and son laughed as the red Dodge Ram roared to life and sped out of view of that damned sandlot. And then there's a cute little illustration of the van driving to Dairy Queen. Chapter 2 coming soon. So, you know, if you have a kid who you might want to, you know, you might qualify as a sensitive boy as they used to, or artistic, you know, you might want to share this little story with him and let him know it's going to be fine. And, you know, he'll find something he clicks with eventually, whether it be math or, you know, the oboe or writing or whatever. You know, kids got to find their thing, and it makes them feel real good. I remember how good I felt once I found dance. Finally, like I had a little bit of worth, which is dark, but true. Yeah, so that's my little Johnny Newcastle story. It's a little like, you know, ham-fisted, but, you know, I made it in a couple days, so whatever. I hope everybody has the literal best New Year. This is a real short episode because I don't have too much to talk about and I don't have a guest, so I'm going to let y'all go enjoy your beautiful day. And happy, happy New Year, and see you next week. Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.